Hey everybody, Jeff Phelps here. The National Sports Collectors Convention is coming to Cleveland. And so is PSA's tradition for grading the show's finest. Submit your collectibles for on-site authentication over 5 days starting July 24th and see why PSA is number one in preserving and enhancing value for cards, tickets, packs, autographs, and memorabilia. More info at psacard.com. PSA, our label means more.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim. Located at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of our six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of our massive screen. Touchdown! Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601-horsepower Ioniq 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 303-mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 5 SE SEL limited rear-wheel drive and 361-mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 6 SE long-range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
This is from Friday Night Lights. Or not Friday Night Lights. Varsity Blues. I know it's from other things, too, but I can't remember what they were doing during this song.
My Hero by the
Varsity Blues, right? So. Yeah, so it was. I guess it was probably. Oh no, you know what it was? It was probably when Billy Bob was picking up all the players, and they went to Lance Harbor's house, and they had the big photo of Lance Harbor. I think that might have been it. And he comes out looking, you know, like a high school quarterback. With his gym bag and threw it in the back of the truck, and then I don't think the pig was in the truck, as I believe. That's another one of those movies we talked about that yesterday with Doran, that if you see that it's on, and then you just have to flip over to it and see exactly where it is, and that depends on whether, you know. And speaking of, well, he got hit in the nose, but Nick, you just sent me the photo of you getting hit in the junk by a batted ball. What was the exit velocity on that one?
We didn't get an official reading, but it was fast.
Yeah, well, it doesn't have to be that fast in order for it to hurt. And it looked like it's a great photo. You should put it. You must have put it out there on social media. Okay. Or we may have to get it out there again. All right, so what do we got here? Fan Twitter is brought to you by, South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. All right, very important, southhillskia.net. And then the fan hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And joining us on the fan hotline, and I feel like we were both pressured into this by Doran Dickerson yesterday because he was with us yesterday. But as it turns out, there's like a lot of stuff happened. And from a Penguins fan standpoint, maybe not of it a lot of significance in terms of big names, certainly not like a year ago. But Jesse Marshall from The Athletic is joining us again. And while the Penguins finally got busy, you know, not with big names like last year, but I don't know, can any of these guys, Lizotte, Grizzlick, Beauvillier, can any of these guys make any sort of a positive impact on the hockey club?
Well, I think, Jim, the one I'm personally most excited about is Blake Lizotte. And he reminds me a little bit stylistically of Brian Rust at that same age in terms of how he plays the game. I think it's a very similar vibe. They've lacked that youthful exuberance in their bottom six, Jim, right? Their bottom six, the average age is, 50. So you've had a lot of issues down there in terms of maintaining possession and generating goals. I think he's going to help. And if you consider a guy last year like a Valtteri Postonen, Jim, who came in real hot at the end of the season, I think showed a lot as a shooter, gave you a little bit of life down there. That's gonna be a real help. Anthony Beauvillier, I think, is another one that I'm keen to see what happens, because there was something in there, Jim, a couple years ago that people were tapping into that gave him a pretty regularly reliable goal scoring touch. I mean, he wasn't scoring 30 goals a year, but you know, he was potting them fairly regularly in a complementary role. That has kind of bottomed out in the last few years. I think his role has changed so many times across so many teams that I'm not even sure he knows what kind of player he is anymore. And I think if the Penguins can give him more discernible identity and a very clear-cut role and turn him loose on the forecheck, I think maybe he can get back to a little bit of that. So these aren't world beaters, Jim. And I even think some of these guys might be guys that you hope they get hot and then you can flip them later for future assets even. So they're doing a stop here as a kind of a prove-it deal. And you hope you can get something for them at the trade deadline. But overall, I mean, I think if you compare the Penguins now to where they were last year, minus Jake Guentzel, right, all these changes, they're not a better team. I think that's very straightforward for me. You know, ultimately, again, I think we're in the middle of a pivoting here from the general manager. I think he understands the situation's not tenable as is. And they're not in a position to do, for instance, what Washington did yesterday, which is completely flip the team on its head overnight. So, you know, it is what it is. But I, again, none of them are world beaters, but I do like Lizotte and some of the other skill sets that they did bring in. You hope that they can match the system pretty well.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it just seems like in a couple of events, like, well, I'll use Beauvillier as an example because he's a name that stuck out to me because, and I was trying to look this up, but I couldn't find it very quickly. Seems like one of those guys, he wasn't exactly like the quintessential Penguin killer that the Islanders seem to have a bunch of them, but he... I guess since he was part of that group, he seemed like, oh, this is a guy who always does pretty well against the Penguins. But that was a few years ago. And we talked about Kevin Hayes yesterday. That was, you know, six or seven years ago. Or you talk about, you know, and Grizzlick, I'm not sure about that if he fell out of favor toward the, you know, then the playoffs last season, I'm not sure what went wrong. But that's another guy that I looked at. I'm thinking, oh, okay, he's got to be better than what we got. Kind of a guy, so maybe it'll work. But Kyle Dubas has downplayed this so much. I mean, he was very upfront about the lack of expectation, which is just kind of weird.
Yeah, and you know, now you take a look at the situation now, Jim, and another name that's floated up here by my colleague Josh Yohe at The Athletic is Vladimir Tarasenko. But that's another one of those names, Jim, that you just get the sense of they want to bring this guy in. Maybe they strike gold with it in the short term. They get an asset for him later down the line. It doesn't seem like any of the seeds, and I don't think this is necessarily a bad thing, by the way, but it doesn't seem like any of the seeds they're planting right now are very long-term at all. And if you look at what went on last year and the length of the Ryan Graves contract, the Lars Eller contract, which they're trying to work out of now, I think that's where they went wrong. I think last year they whiffed on a lot of those bottom six players, but those were one and done. You know, you're not normally going to cry too much about that. You gave it a try. It didn't work out. But there was a couple guys that you just gave too much term to, and they really hurt the team. I think that, you know, now you take a look at what the game plan, so to speak, is here. It's to get as many picks as we possibly can, not give any of those up in our dealings, reduce our overall spend, and make ourselves more flexible for the future. That is, you know, very much what's going on. Even if it's not being acknowledged by the staff, you know, I think back years ago, Jim, you know, when the Rangers started their rebuild, you remember they wrote that letter to the public?
Yeah, said, hey, yes.
We're going to stink. The Penguins are not doing that. They're not doing that. They're very much trying to maintain this sort of covert operation where they want to remain somewhat competitive but also prepare for the future. We'll see how that works out.
Is there any way, and again, I mean, Jesse Marshall of The Athletic is with us here on The Fan, and you follow it very closely than just about anybody. And I don't. And even when I was working, I didn't follow it as closely as guys like you do. But just on the surface, when they brought in Ryan Graves, I'm thinking, all right, you know, okay, this big dude, you know, he can fit with either, you know, one of the top two guys, and that'll be a good compliment along with Marcus Pettersson to Letang, and this is going to work. And then it obviously didn't. But is there, because I had thought I had seen something there when he was with other teams. Is there any way at all that there can be a reclamation with a guy like that, or is it a completely lost cause?
Well, let me be clear, Jim. He's better than he was last year. I think that is very much a given. Last year was a huge adjustment for him. I think they have to find the right environment for him. And what I mean by that is, like, Ryan Graves at his best, and when he was in New Jersey playing well, was a guy who liked to carry the puck. He liked having the puck on his stick. He liked playing in the offensive zone. He would pinch. You got a lot of shots out of him. He was constantly getting in there and mixing it up. But when you're playing with one of Chris Letang or Erik Karlsson, Jim, you're not going to be doing that. That's not going to be what your role is, because those two guys are generational at that job. And I think that took him out of his element. And what you ended up with was a situation where, you know, Ryan Graves' calling card has never really been like, I'm super good defensively, right? And all the pinching that you get from Letang and Carlson, that really kind of, I think, exposed him back there and forced him to try to handle a lot of odd man situations that really aren't, that's not his bread and butter. So I think it's about finding the right deployment. Now, maybe, does that mean you play him on the third pairing? I don't think that's going to work. There's a lot of money and term invested for that. You know, I think you just brought over Matt Grubchik. So, I don't know what the solution is. You're going to have to ultimately, I think, play him with one of those two guys. But, you know, I think, does he share more of a puck-carrying load? Do you take that sum of away from Letang? I don't know what the correct answer is, Jim, but it would be a tough pill to swallow to have a player like that with that kind of contract playing 11 minutes a night on your third pair. That's a tough pill to swallow. So I think they just have to find the right balance and strike the right partner for him, and that hasn't happened yet.
Okay, now I'm going to sort of cover the same ground that we covered yesterday. However, I think I want to expand it a little bit because you mentioned that basically the Penguins, I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And you're saying that's what they've been doing on the power play. It's just been the same thing for the last 6 or 7 years, and now it doesn't work anymore. What would you do? What can they do with the personnel that they have, which is 4 freaking Hall of Famers on a power play? There's got to be some way you can do it. Who would be the 5th piece? You know, not to denigrate Brian Rust or anything, because I love him as a player. But what can they do? Who can they put out there? What can they do on their power play to make it successful? Because it should be based on the personnel that they can throw out there.
Yeah, and good power plays today, Jim, if you look around the league, they're about puck movement and utilizing that space behind the net as, you know, sort of the ultimate way to set the play up. And I think that's what I'd like to see. You know, the Penguins run an umbrella right now, Jim. And, you know, it looks like it's called an umbrella because that's what it looks like. You have a fan of players sort of like from the dots up to the blue line. They're kind of moving around and trying to create these cross-ice passes for each other. But everybody's a little bit higher in the zone, right? And I think that's the part to me that's become a little bit archaic, is teams aren't really building off the blue line anymore for the power play. They're doing it from the corner, from behind the net. You have Sidney Crosby on the team, Jim. You know, as far as people who can set plays up from the corner, is a Hall of Famer. I mean, top 3 of all time, right? I don't feel like he's being utilized in that way. I don't feel like you're getting Evgeny Malkin into a point where he can let that bomb go from a couple feet further in at the top of the circle as opposed to up by the blue line. Letang and Carlson get handcuffed, I think, up there. So from my perspective, Jim, you got to make that the focus, right? And I'm talking, a 1-3-1 alignment on the power play where you're moving guys down and putting their natural position along the circles and sneaking them into the net. Everybody's driving the crease. That's, to me, is where you don't have to do it in a pretty way, Jim, right? You don't get style points because you made a tic-tac-toe pass in front of the net. Goals count the same whether you do that or whether they go in off your head you fall down on the ice and it goes in. You know, they could be ugly, and I just don't think they're invested enough in working out of those spaces. The slot area, Jim, is where all the money is made on the power play, right? That center area between the circles, that home plate in front of the ice, that's where people are scoring goals in this league. That's where the Penguins are spending the least amount of time. So I think ultimately you've got to rework things to get everybody lower in the zone and allow penalty killers to be less aggressive against you.
Do they have too many of the same type of player out there? Because Letang and Carlson, they're similar. They're very similar players. Crosby and Malkin are, I know that maybe people from here would see a bigger difference between the two, but again, they're too similar where they want to play on the power play, where they like to be. I don't know, splitting them up, I don't know if that's if that's something that makes sense. I always thought it kind of did, and especially when they got Carlson, you know, you've got, again, I keep throwing out the Hall of Famer thing, but you've got 2 Hall of Fame, you know, defensemen to run a power play, and yet when they're out there at the same time, it almost seems like it'd be counterproductive.
Jim, I think you're spot on, and there's a lack of, I would word it as a lack of diversity among the talent. Think back to when they won those cups, you had Patrick Hornquist, right? Just an absolute terror in front of the net, constantly screening goalies. Think about the goal he scored that won the cup. That was nasty, ugly bounce in front of the net. Who is that player now on this team? who's playing that role? I think some people may suggest it's Ricard Raquel when he gets called upon, but that is a far, far cry from Patrick Hornquist.
O'Connor?
He is, yeah. Maybe him, another one I'd entertain. But you think about Phil Kessel during those Cup years and the shot that he had, and he'd get it on the half wall. He could distribute it from there. He could walk it in and shoot it. Who's playing that role now? To your point, I feel like they have a lot of guys that think in a similar fashion, and that, you know, ends up causing a lot of deference among them. Instead of somebody taking the action, it's pass, pass, pass. Those initiative drivers, like the guy in front of the net or the guy on the half wall, they can break that monotony up, and they don't have that role right now. So I think going out and finding that is, or at least determining who those people are is going to have to be one of the first things David Quinn does when he assesses this power play.
Do you think that Tristan Jarry is going to be on the team when the season starts?
I'm 50-50 on this, Jim, but I do think they're trying to find a solution to this problem, but I don't know that Tristan Jarry at that term and at this recent performance is that attractive of an option to teams that truly need goaltending, especially if it's going to cost them assets. So I think this one is going to be one that lingers for a long time. I'm going to be stern. I'm going to give you the answer. I say no. I do not think he will be on the roster come opening night. I think they're going to find an alternate solution to goaltending. And I think there's a possibility that there's going to be some teams that get desperate through the end of free agency. Penguins will maybe potentially jump on that. But then the problem, Jim, if you trade Tristan Jarry, you need another goalie. You can't go through this year with a combination of Alex Nedeljkovic and Joel Blomqvist. That's not going to work out.
You don't think so? You don't think he's NHL ready? We don't know. And we got to find out.
I do as a backup, but if Nedeljkovic got hurt, that would be a heavy hitter. So, you solve your Tristan Jarry problem, but create another one for yourself. And maybe for that reason, because we're so late in the offseason, maybe it doesn't happen. But I think either way, you've got to find a way to address it if you do send them out.
All right, there you go. I appreciate you coming back on. I apologize for, like I said, I think I'm blaming Doran for this.
You never have to apologize for getting me to talk to you. You're acting like this is a terrible thing. I enjoy it. I hope retirement's treating you well. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it is. But I'm in here like doing 4.5 hours in this thing, and Nick has been very helpful. I appreciate them.
Nick's the man. Yeah, he's a good guy.
No, he really is. I appreciate your expertise. You're really into it. You're educational. And I don't know. Sounds like they're punting. I mean, Kyle Dubas, I almost think he's trying to downplay everything so that people aren't saying, well, it's not going to be all that great. It's just a different kind of an attitude than what we've seen. So you know what? Hey, if it's something different, I'm all for it. If it's something different. But Jesse Marshall, The Athletic, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you later. All right. Thank you to Jesse. So yeah, these guys are, it's great. There's a lot of good young people around here. Nick is one of them. Donnie Football, producer Matt. I mean, a lot of these guys are really into it. And so the future is in good hands, I think, when it comes to our business.
Yay!
Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them. I already did that, didn't I? SouthHillsKia.net. That's okay.
Tell them about the non-functioning text line right now.
I can. The Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury firm. Well, they always say, as they point, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up next, I have no idea. I'm Jim Collins.
Hey, everybody. Jeff Phelps here. The National Sports Collectors Convention is coming to Cleveland. And so is PSA's tradition for grading the show's finest. Submit your collectibles for on-site authentication over 5 days starting July 24th and see why PSA is number one in preserving and enhancing value for cards, tickets, packs, autographs, and memorabilia. More info at psacard.com. PSA, our label means more.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the IONIQ 5 and IONIQ 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601-horsepower IONIQ 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 303-mile driving range for 2024 IONIQ 5 SE SEL limited rear-wheel drive and 361-mile driving range for 2024 IONIQ 6 SE long range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
Colony. All right, Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. Now, a little Bucko baseball coming up here. And, ooh. It's just a catchy little tune with the little, like, little popcorn thingies, sounds like.
Would you be surprised to know that I wrote this?
You what?
You wrote the music.
You did? What's it called?
So, I wrote a... Did you hear some of these rappers, they're having their beef right now and, like,
oh, wait a minute. I did hear a little bit of your... What, you do a diss track?
Yep, that was the music to the PM teams.
The Donnie Football diss track.
No, not just the Donnie Football, the whole show.
The entire show? So am I obligated to say, like, social media's biggest loser? I got to do that later on. I'm not going to make it Mulsey because that's what Starkey always says.
Well, now, no, Starkey's actually changed to Donnie Football.
And why? Just,
I don't know.
What does he do on social media that makes him the biggest loser?
I don't know. What did Mulsey do on social media to make him the big... Well, actually, don't answer that.
He's just Mulsey.
He's just Mulsey.
That's what he is. They used to work together, you know, so...
But Doran said I should put some of those beds just as rejoin music.
And I like it.
Sure.
I like it.
A little unique.
Are there some lyrics to go along with that particular background?
Yeah. Yeah, it's because it's the PM Team disc, so I wrote lyrics to the music. I didn't want to... include the lyrics because it would have sounded a little weird coming back, but
that's okay. I mean, I got
just
time.
The music itself.
I'm Jim Colony here till what, 10? And Starkey's not even coming in today. It's just Zeiss, right? It's just Zeiss.
Yeah,
today?
Just Zeiss. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm going to go social media. I'll do it right now since I brought it up.
Okay.
Social media's biggest loser is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. I'm going to go with Starkey. Because my guess is that he's actually playing at a really nice golf course today, and he's not even going to post anything about it.
Mm.
And we deserve to see photos if he's at a nice golf course.
Yeah,
because I want to see where he is.
Right.
And if he's off today, then he could have told me this. And if he's playing golf, he could have told me this, and I could have invited him to play my course. And. Which is, you know, people want to see him there. That's like the biggest question I get when I'm working at the golf course is, well, have you ever played with Starkey? Is Starkey any good? When are you going to bring Joe here to play? I could have done that today. So he's today's social media's biggest loser.
Sorry, I just got distracted because Paul Zeiss texted and said Donnie and Chris are Joe's biggest losers because of Awaken 180 because they're on the program.
Ah, I get it. Okay.
Well done, Joe.
Okay. So what else do we have here? I guess
anything you want.
Well, I know. I said I had no idea what I was going to talk about, but I am going to talk about the Buccos. Because this is, you know, it really is make or break time here before the All-Star break. It really is with 7 games at home, and I guess the Mets are playing pretty well. The Cardinals are, as we had Jason Mackey on earlier, pointed out that they're the hottest team at least in the National League right now, and the Pirates they've got two of their best pitchers going in the first two games. Skeens wouldn't pitch again if they follow with 4 days off, and now they probably make it 5. So Skeens isn't going to pitch until Friday or Thursday. Or Thursday would be the earliest we'd see. Oh wait a minute, I just kind of did this out. Yeah, because he pitched on Saturday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday would be the earliest you would see him. But we probably won't see him until Friday. And that's the only game he's going to pitch in the homestand. Well, it would be whether he pitches Thursday or Friday, that would be that's the only game in the homestand. But then he would be set up, like they've got to have it set up so that he pitches the one game in this homestand, and then he has to pitch two of the games on the road when they're in Milwaukee and Chicago to take on the White Sox. So, but right now it's up to Mitch Keller, and you know the game that the last time I went to a game was when he outdueled, you know, against the Reds, where he pitched, I think it was eight shutout innings. And they ended up winning the game on the Brian Reynolds home run. And Hunter Green was the guy who pitched for the Reds, and he was great. But Keller was just a little bit better, and Brian Reynolds was a little bit better when he had to be. But that's how the Pirates going to have to win games. You know, Paul Skenes allows one run, a leadoff homer in his last two outings, and then he goes six innings or seven innings, I think, in one case. And they still can't win the game because they can't score any runs. And that's just something that's going to have to happen. They're going to have to start win games 1-0, 2-1, 3-2. You know, they get two run homers, they score four runs in a game. That's like an explosion. And when they do, they generally win when they score four runs. And that's not a lot. I mean, it is for them, but as Bob Smizek pointed out, you know, the way we watch the Pirates every day. We see every game. And that you wouldn't believe that there are other teams that are out there that are worse. And yet there are. In terms of that are more offensively challenged than the Pirates. And there are. But you got to take two out of three from St. Louis. You know, nothing less. You know, if they fail to do that, then you're kind of in a situation where you need to sweep the Mets, and they're playing better. And, you know, you will have at least, you know, Keller and Jones would come back around in that series, but it's winning time for the Pirates if they're gonna make any sort of a move. And then after that they go to Milwaukee, where Skenes will be able to pitch, but they wouldn't have Jones and Keller, I don't believe. Maybe Keller could come back for the final game of that series, maybe. But I haven't extrapolated it out. But they're trying to extend it out to six starters because now Ortiz is in the mix. And that's not, Nick, what do you think of Ortiz? Because, you know, when he first came up, he looked like, and I know Bob Walk had great things to say about him, and he's not prone to hyperbole, and yet then he sort of lost it, and now it looks like he's kind of found it again. So which Ortiz are we looking at here?
I don't know if the sample size is big enough for me to have confidence, but the way that all the pitchers have done this season, especially the starters, it seems like they've all figured it out in some capacity. Bailey Falter figured it out, and he was somebody that was questionable too. Ronzi Contreras didn't, but it seems like he's finding it a little better in
someplace else.
Yeah,
the Angels right now.
So I mean, maybe, you know, I'll have confidence. I'll have confidence in him. I think that based on just how the other starters are doing now, and maybe something got fixed internally with the pitchers. I think we're going to get a solid Luis Ortiz, especially if they let him start more games through the second half of the year.
Does this opener thing? Are you into that at all?
I don't like it, but I mean, it works sometimes. I don't know.
Because what they had done earlier, right? They sent a reliever out, like a one inning guy out for the first inning, and then Ortiz was, in essence, the starting pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Why not just start the guy? What, that way he can get through the top of the order, the middle of their order. If he goes six innings, he can get them the second time through without them seeing him three times.
That was bizarre. I mean, they had him pitch four innings, so. The one game, I remember that. The way they've been handling it is bizarre.
But a lot of teams do that, or not a lot, but the teams that do that, was Tampa Bay the team that first started doing it?
I think so.
But then the second pitcher was, in essence, the starter because the second pitcher was the guy that went four, five, six innings.
It was supposed to be the – and remember when the A's did that too in the 2018 wildcard game? They had Liam Hendricks start. That was nuts. And he's a closer now. But, no, the whole objective was, I think you have one guy go out there and he just gets a short sample size one inning – and then you have another pitcher go out there for four, and then, you know, ideally four, and then, you know, the rest of the bullpen takes it from there.
It's like you get through that third time the order, that stigma of getting through the order, the third time through the order thing.
Yeah.
That eliminates that, at least with the first three or four batters.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the guy that you're putting out there probably isn't used to starting. And it's just a different kind of a routine. So what do we got here? I'm absolutely, see, I'm out of it right now. I'm just completely out of it.
We are way off schedule.
We are?
Yeah.
Oh.
Time for a break.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll be back. I'm Jim Colony, 93.7 The Fan. Yeah, still here. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I just saw this. Matt Venzel tweet. Pomp jumped in on it as well. And Steve Mears. I mean, good for Mearsy, I guess. But he's going to be leaving Pittsburgh. He's headed to Columbus to be the new television voice for the Blue Jackets. So congrats to him. We're going to miss him. And, you know, there was a shakeup in all the guys. And I didn't know Steve as well. Some of, like, I know Getzoff a little bit better. But Steve's great. He does a really good job. He's a local guy. And we'd love to see him stick around, but gets a TV gig in Columbus. So congratulations to him. He will be missed. That is for sure. All right, I'm Jim Colony, thanking everybody here. Not the least is my man Nick Callis. I still can't do the Harry Callis thing. I know we've talked about that on the weekends in the past. Just I remember Harry Callis, but yeah, you're Nick, you know, or Callis.
That's fine with me.
Either, yeah. I mean, that's fine. But if you embrace the Harry Callis denom, the whatever, then that's fine. Southside Jake, the plumber who stumped me with trivia, and then somebody was disappointed. So he was supposed to ask me 3 questions. He only asked me 1. I guess he knew I hadn't watched the NASCAR race, so he just let me go. Jason Mackey joined us, Bob Smizek, Jesse Marshall from The Athletic. So thanks to Paul Alexander. We talked a little golf, and you'll be able to hear Paul on the Going Low show Saturday at 7 to 8. Some of you, and you know who you are, may be joining me at Moon Golf Club Saturday for the Jimbo's Balls event. You don't have to really find them because they're presented to you. They'll be in your golf cart, but it's a nice little event. Josh Danino and his staff at Moon do a great job with all those events. If you've been in an outing at Moon, they do it as well as anybody around. And so we'll have a lot of fun on Saturday. Looking forward to that. We'll be there bright and early on Saturday. So I'm Jim Colony. That's it. Thanks for hanging out. I'll probably talk to you again on this station in October, maybe November, or maybe never. Who knows? Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com today. The high of 84. The overnight low is going to be kind of pleasant again with a low of 55. And then tomorrow's high, 89 degrees.
Hey, everybody. Jeff Phelps here. The National Sports Collectors Convention is coming to Cleveland. And so is PSA's tradition for grading the show's finest. Submit your collectibles for on-site authentication over 5 days starting July 24th and see why PSA is number one in preserving and enhancing value for cards, tickets, packs, autographs, and memorabilia. More info at psacard.com. PSA, our label means more.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601 horsepower Ioniq 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 303-mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 5 SE SEL limited rear-wheel drive and 361-mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 6 SE long range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
Dive into a world of electrifying anime excitement with Hulu Animeham, your anime destination. Unleash the mayhem with Hulu's huge curated collection of anime shows, from legendary classics like Naruto Shippuden, Dragon Ball Z Kai, and Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, to the latest sizzling releases like Sandland, Mission Yosakura Family, and tons more.
Why are you fixated on me?
Because you're my friend.
That's right. Get fixated and get your anime fix with Hulu Animeham, your anime destination.
It's been a three-year wait, but the Olympics are back, and the CBS Sports Podcast Network has you covered with everything happening in Paris. It's a new era for the U.S. women's national team, and Attacking Third will tackle all the women's soccer action. First Cut will keep close tabs on golf, while Beyond the Arc will follow the U.S. men's basketball team on a quest for another gold. And We Need to Talk Now will provide comprehensive coverage of women's athletes at the Olympic Games. Follow and listen to all CBS Sports Podcasts for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.